I asked myself that question. Yeah, I did a lot of years in prison. And in prison, I was one of those people that was so meticulous that in my locker, your little locker you give you, I can go in my locker in the dark and find anything because I put everything in the same place all the time. I go home now, and if my girlfriend's been over and she's cleaned the place up, I can tell if something's been moved. I mean, it's just a sickness of me or some kind. I'll know. I'll know that somebody's been there. You know, wait a minute. And I'll look on the shelf. Well, I got a little railing going up my stairs where I put knickknacks with my keys and different things. And she might move a receipt, an old receipt that's been there for a while. And I'll notice it. Hey, that receipt's gone. But, you know. But I said this to say this. I said to say this here. If you got dressed in the dark and just had to find stuff just haphazardly, most of us would look a mess. We don't know if you got right socks on, the same color socks, and if you got a bunch of shoes like I have, you don't know if you got the right shoes or what color you just feel the best that you can. So what do you think you look like if you get you put your spiritual clothes on, but you live in a spiritual blindness? What do you think you look like when you really don't know the Lord and you get up every day? You know, I get up every day and I try to first put on humility. See, because I was a prideful person and I was an aggressive person. So I try to clothe myself in the things that God would have me be today. I clothe myself in humility. I try to clothe myself with integrity because in the positions that God has put me in, I have a chance to really cheat if I wanted to cheat. I have opportunity to take things that would be wrongfully gained if I wanted to do that. So I clothe myself in integrity and I try to be above, I'm above the board in everything I do with the help of the Lord. So I put on my spiritual clothes first. It talks in Ephesians 6 and 10. And let me go there. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, listen. It doesn't say God's going to put this on you. See, when I first got saved, I wanted God to make me stop lying. I wanted God to make me quit getting high. I wanted God to make me quit cursing. I wanted God to make me quit being a thief. I wanted God to do all these things in me to keep me from getting locked up, to keep me from losing the loved ones in my life, to keep me from once again starting all over, becoming homeless, becoming those things because in my finite mind and in my ignorance, I thought it was his job. I remember first joining the church years ago and trying to get clean. I remember going to Narcotics Anonymous and I got me a sponsor. And the first time I got high, I said, that sponsor is no good. He could not keep me from getting high. I got to get me another sponsor. That's not the right one. Now, I'm in the wrong church because this pastor could not keep me from getting high. I did not understand that there's some things I had to do. I had to make an effort. I had to have a desire in my heart to be something different than I was. I can't have the desire to get high. Now listen. The craving and the desire are two different things. When I first got clean, I thought about it. There were thoughts, but I would quickly run to the rock. I would quickly run to somebody and tell on myself. So I became a snitch. So I'd go tell on myself in a heartbeat. Said, this is what I'm thinking because I really wanted to be something different and I didn't know how because I thought if this pastor couldn't change me or that sponsor couldn't change me, then there was something wrong. The next verse says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It did not say, be still so God can put the armor on you. It didn't say, to stand that somebody's going to dress you and clothe you in these things. See, I had to have a desire not to look foolish. See, when I was a crackhead, I didn't care how I looked. All I wanted was another high. You know, and most of the times, the clothes I had, I was getting raggedy, and I had lost everything I had because I had been put out of where I was living. And they'd throw my stuff away. So somebody would give me a pair of pants here, somebody would give me a shirt over here or something like that. So I'd put that on, but that didn't make any difference because I'm going to find one more. I'm going to find one more. And as I began to pray, I can remember the day, May 21st, 2011. I was walking down the street and I began to cry because I started trying to get clean in 1986. Do the math. All those years, Mick, I couldn't understand how to get it right. I kept thinking it was your job. You older, you've been around the church a long time. Why can't you get me clean? Why can't my mother and father get me clean? Why couldn't they dress me? It never said that God was going to put the armor of God on you. You put it on. The helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. So I wanted to be saved. May 21st, 2011, I walked down the street and I began to cry because God began to deal with me. He began to deal with me in a real way, and I knew that day. See, there's going to come a time when you're going to know that you know that you know that the Holy Ghost is on the way, that he's here. And you may have been there and not even understood what it was or who it was or was dealing with you. But something felt different inside. You may begin to look back and forth. Your tears will start to well up in your eyes. And a lot of us ran from that because as I look back over my life, that wasn't the first time that feeling had come down on me. But I ran from that feeling because I didn't want to be weak. And here's the real thing, and I had to be honest today. I didn't want to quit getting high. I wanted to learn how could I get high and not lose 20 pounds a day? How could I get high and not lose my job? How could I get high and my girlfriend don't kick me out? How could I get high and not sell my car? How can I get high and not become homeless? How could I get high and not be banned from my mother and father's house? See, I know I'm the only one in here because I'm the only crackhead in here. I know. I'm the only dope being alcoholic. I'm the only thief. And I was the only person lost in here. I know. But I had to learn some things. And that day, May 21st, 2011, when I gave my life to God that day, I went to prison. I went to jail that day because I just committed a crime and I went back to get this thing off of me. I went back to get this off me and I turned myself in. I went to prison after I was saved. I went to prison after I gave my life to God. And you know what? People say this. Some of you have been to prison. Some of you have heard of prison. People say it's easy to be saved in prison. That's a lie from the pit. Because if you're in prison and you are saved, you are almost alone. You are almost alone. I went to every church service they had for those years I was in prison. The place, in fact, I set up the church most of the places. I was an elder at most of the places. I gave the message at a lot of the places. But there were people who would be in church with me, holding hands, praying, singing the songs. And then we'll go back, I'd see them behind the corner, duck down behind a tree somewhere. And you know what? I wasn't looking for it. We had a path, and I'd walk the path, and I'd happen to walk right past the tree where some guy's got a hit of that spice, and he's going at it. The same guy that sits next to me in the pulpit, he looked me right in the face. He told me, "Oh, man, you following me." I wasn't following him. I was getting some air and getting some exercise. But you know what? Even in prison, I did the best I knew how. I was called a snitch. I was called the police. I was called weak. And when you're not, when you're a person that's aggressive from the streets, you're not used to that kind of thing. I mean, I wanted to act out. There's a bunch of times I wanted to act out, but I didn't get dressed in the dark. I didn't get dressed in the dark. I made sure before I got up in the morning that I prayed to God to help me, to walk with me. God, show me that I can't see. God, help me to trust you when I can't see you. Help me to believe in you, Lord, when I'm uncertain. Help me, Lord, to be calm when I'm uncomfortable. And I had to walk this thing out. And that's why I say when you get dressed in the dark, you don't know what you look like. I remember years and years and years ago, back when I was out getting high, I was standing out with a group of guys and we were smoking weed. And here comes a guy down the street carrying a Bible. Yeah, I wasn't into nothing like that. This cat won't, man. And he began to ask us, can I pray for you? Man, get away from us, man. You know, we were rude. We were ignorant. We just didn't care. Get away from us, man. But you know what? After we wouldn't let him pray for us, he asked us, hey, well, let me hit that joint. Yeah, it's a true story. Hey, let me hit the joint. See, and so I've seen hypocrites. And so I thought nobody was saved. You know, when I first came around, I got to share this. When I first came around church in Narcotics Anonymous, I look at these people. I said, these people aren't clean. I said, because nobody can stop using. I was such in a grip of addiction, James, I didn't think nobody could quit. Because I didn't quit because I didn't like it. If I said and told you I quit cocaine because I didn't like the taste of cocaine or the way it made me feel, I'd be standing there telling you a lie. I loved the way cocaine made me feel. I loved that rush. I loved the way it made me feel. But I didn't like what happened to me afterwards. I couldn't stop that. I could not stop that, no matter how I try. Well, if I buy just a little bit, if I put some money in this sock and some money in this sock, I'll buy a little bit. That didn't work. Well, I tell you what, maybe I'll buy a lot. That didn't work. Maybe I use a smaller pipe. That didn't work. Maybe I use a bigger pipe. That didn't work. Maybe I only smoke at home. That didn't work. None of that worked for me. None of that worked for me. I became a crutch. I found out I was allergic to cocaine. Every time I smoked, I broke out in handcuffs. I'd be all hitched up. And so I began to understand that something had to be different. I remember crying. See, because God knew, the reason God showed up for me, May 21st, 2011, because he knew I had a desire. See, somebody's sitting here tonight with a desire, but you're struggling. I had a desire and God knew it. I used to cry when I'd be by myself. And I asked God, Lord, do for me what you did for my mom. Do for me what you did for my big sister. Because I believe they were saved. I believe in all my heart that they were walking this thing out right. And that day he showed up for me. He showed up for me. See, Jesus died on the cross. And we put it on that cross. And they put that vinegar up to him. What did he say? It is finished. He did what he was going to do. Jesus did what he was going to do. He took it from you. He did what he was going to do. He stood the gap. He held on. He showed us how to walk it out. He showed us how to walk it out. And people will say this, and somebody might disagree with me tonight, but that's okay. People say, well, he was God and man on earth. On earth, he was a man. If he was God and man both on earth, then what was the demonstration? Of course, a God can do what I can't do. He had to come back a full man to show you that a full man can walk this thing out. He had to show you that you, Mitch, can walk this thing out. He had to show me that, Lyle, you can walk this thing out because you're a man just like me. And I began to understand that. So I began to understand that I had some things to do. I had to put on things. Like, I've been around Brother Mark a long time. And I watched him in my church. He's the elder in our church. And I watched him. And a couple other elders, I watched him. Because I had to see you fall because nobody can walk this thing out right. You can't be living right. It's just too hard. How can you do it? But God showed me how to put on some integrity. I remember when I first got saved, I was riding with a girl, and we went through the window of Arby's. And because she was hungry, she was out there on the street, and I was trying to help her out. See, because I had to learn how to do the ministry. I didn't know, but I had to learn some things. So I got into the things, Arby's, I bought some food, and the lady gave me back too much change. Now, that's a great pull off, but something told me count, and I counted. I said, man, she gave me back $5 more than she should have. And she stopped. And the girl said, oh, let me have it. I said, I can't give you that. That's not mine. Oh, she ain't going to know. I said, yes, she will know. I said, what happens if she's made this mistake before? And they told her next time it happens, she gets fired. And she's got two kids at home to feed all by herself. I said, is that $5 worth it? Is that $5 worth it to watch someone's life crumble? See, but I began to understand. I was in a gas station one night. And one of my best friends of 50 years was with me. I was getting a ride to work. He had wrecked his car. And I was sitting in the gas station waiting on someone to come out. And a guy jumped out of his car. And I watched him slide money. He must have had it under his leg. On the ground. Out of his car. So I started blowing my horn and hitting the lights. My friend grabbed my arm. What you doing, man? I said, hey, man, this dude dropped his money. He said, man, you don't know that guy. I said, that guy must. Well, I said, what happens when I get to heaven? That guy lived next door to me. I said, what happens then, Rick? What am I going to do then? I said, that's not my money. I'm blowing the horn. The guy turned around, looked at the money, and looked at me and waved, and walked under the building. My friend gets out of the car, and he runs over and grabs that little stack of money, and he comes and gets back in my car. Now, a few minutes go by, here comes the guy out the gas station, and somebody outside said something they must have told him, so the guy knocks on my window. So I let my window down. I said, yes, sir. He said, sir, somebody told me you got my money. I said, well, somebody told you a lie. I said, somebody told you a lie, young man. I said, I wouldn't take anything from you. Now, see, you're talking about an old thief that couldn't be trusted with gingerbread at church. But I was able to say that and mean it from my heart. I said, brother, I wouldn't take nothing from you. I said, in fact, remember me blowing the horn and flashing the lights? I said, that was me. He said, yeah, I thought you were just waving. You know, okay. Now, I'm sitting here. One of my best friends of 50 years is sitting here with this guy's money, and he's looking straight ahead. Now, I've got a choice. See, I've got a choice now. See, God gives you choices. God, see, because let me tell you something. God knows where you are. Sometimes he wants to show you where you are. Sometimes things come up in your life because God wants you to know who you are. Because sometimes I thought I was further along than I was. Sometimes I thought I was better than I was. The Bible says, be careful that you think so highly of yourself than you are. So, but I just knew, I'm sitting there and I got a choice to make. I'm a man of God. This man didn't get this man money and jumped in my car. This guy's standing here. Now, see, I was a street fighter back in the day. So, look, I'm going to tell you something. I had to push that out of my mind. Because something inside of me sized that cat up when he walked up to my car. See, that's that old man trying to rear up. Just because that old man tried to rear up don't mean you're him. Because I pushed him back down. He better shut up. I don't have no problem with this man. I said, no, brother, I wouldn't have took your money. Then he looked over at my friend. He said, sir, did you take my money? Now, I turned and looked at my friend. I ain't did nothing, man. So now I really got to make a choice here. I got to make a choice. See, and over the years, and I'm not no great guy, I'm not no rich person, but over the years I've spent, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars, giving to people out of the abundance God has given me. And it feels good because God's allowed people to do that for me. And it felt good. So I'm thinking, maybe I should just give this. I don't know how much money it is. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. I don't know what he took. But anyway, my buddy finally looked. I started praying. Said, Lord, you got to help me here. So I'm in a situation. And then my buddy spoke up. He said, here, man. And he handed him back the money. Me and this guy ran together 50 years. Back, he works where I work at today. I got him a job with me. We've always been real close. His family's like my family. I can't. My pastor, old Bishop Clark, used to say, When I got saved, I told myself I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. That stuck with me. See, my life was so dishonest, not just my words, my life was so dishonest that when God saved me, he saved me on the edge that you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so I told myself, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And then, you know, I look back at the milestones God has given me. I'm getting married this Saturday. I'm getting married this Saturday. At 60 years old, 62 years old. But do you know when I got saved, I was such a whoremonger. I was such a pervert that when I prayed to God to clean me up, I said, Lord, I want you to bring me a wife. I said, I want you to give me a God-fearing woman, Father. I want you to give me a help me, somebody that can get a prayer through for me when I can't get a prayer through for myself. I said, but Lord, firstly, because now I had some spiritual principles in my life because I decided to put on some things. And I said, Lord, but before you bring me this wife, teach me how to be a husband. Teach me how to love somebody other than myself. Teach me how to be responsible to somebody other than myself. Teach me how to be honest. Teach me how to be selfless. And God must have sure thought that I was a ruffian because it's been 10 years. It's been May 21st to be 10 years. You know what? And I can honestly say I have been celibate 10 years. Never would have thought I could do it, and I couldn't do it, but God kept me because I desired to be kept. For 10 years, I stayed celibate. I've lost girlfriends over the years because I refused to go against the Acts 5:29, I think it is, says, we ought to obey God rather than man. I had women that I cared a lot about. Girl called me every name in the book one night. Because I just wouldn't go against what God had because I knew that one day God would bring me the desire of my heart. See, and that's where I had to get to. I had to get to trust in the Lord. When I first came home from prison, man, I had $200 and two outfits. That's all I had. And then I got a job that ripped me off. I thought I was gonna make a lot of money. I ended up getting ripped off. And then when this guy ripped me off, my first thought was, go get this dude, man. He used you in front of your family, in front of your friends. He's made a fool of you, man. Go get this dude, man. And for a brief while, I contemplated that, man. I trusted this guy. He was a realtor. I was selling houses for him. Sold houses, never got a nickel. You know, but you know what I had to do? Mark, I had to do what I watched you do all them years, man. I had to do what I watched Elder Farr, Elder Anderson, Bishop. I had to watch you do what I saw you guys do. Turn the other cheek. And I ate it. I turned the other cheek and I ate it. And you know what? Today, I've had a few struggles. I haven't had a bill not met. I haven't had a bill not met. God has seen to it that, you know what rich is? The definition of rich is that I have enough for today. If I've eaten at the end of the day and I got a place to lay my head and clothes to put on, that means I've done everything that Donald Trump has done. All he had was enough money to do what he did, and I've got the same. You know, I look back at that, and God has blessed my life. God has truly blessed my life. I look back at where I came from. I don't recognize my life. I can walk in the courthouse with my telephone in my pocket, and they call me Mr. Kelsall. I can walk in the mayor's office. He'll come out as I need to see you. Oh, Mr. Kelsall, come on in. The attorney general. We've eaten lunch and we've been together. And he knows my name. He walked the streets with me. I'm saying these things because I'm talking about an old dope fiend. I'm talking about an old dope fiend thief that never thought he could come out from 1986 to 2011. But God, man. And I look back and ask myself, why wasn't I smart enough to give my life to God a long time ago? And I look back now, I got a car out there, you know. Car just cost me $500 this weekend to get the new radiator put in. But you know what? I love that car. It's mine. And I don't have a car. I don't have a car note. God blessed me to pay my car note off last year. My wife, she doesn't have a car note. She got a 2019 Nissan Rogue, wherever it is. She doesn't have a car note. I live in, some of you guys have been to my apartment. I live in a small apartment. Pam's come over for praise and worship, and some other people think Jose's been there. Got a small apartment. I love it. I'm moving Saturday. I'm moving Saturday to a house with two and a half baths, a jacuzzi, three patios, upper, middle, lower deck patio. And guess what my mortgage is going to be? It's paid for. God has done for me what I can't do for myself, and I'm not saying that to brag on me, because I'm nothing but a no good lying thief if it wasn't for God. If it wasn't for God, I'd be out there right now looking to see what y'all left that I can run off with. But God has done that, and God is no respecter of person. He's no respecter of person. You know, I had to learn, and see, I didn't always know how to put on the things that I had to wear. I didn't know how to put on integrity. I had to start being honest. I had to go to, see, if you're a mentor in this facility tonight, raise your hand. All the mentors, raise your hand. Raise your hand, Martin. Raise your hand. But, and we got, that's not to miss some founders of this program here. But you know what? Night after night, people come in and they walk out curious about how can I get there, but they never talk to one of the elders, the mentors. They never say, see, now listen, I've been to him, and I've told on myself what I was thinking. I'm talking about saved. I've been to him and told him, this is what I'm thinking, man. This is a sick thing in me. This is what I'm thinking. See, I thought I could save the world. When I got saved, I went through stages. My first stage was I became a Pharisee. Man, you couldn't smoke a cigarette around me. Man, you couldn't cuss around me. Oh, my God, you the worst person in the world around me. I was in prison wanting everybody to be perfect because I was trying to live right. Woo, you know how hard that was for me? How rough that was for me? So I get out of prison. I make it out now. Now I'm in the streets, and I'm riding down through the neighborhoods where I've seen people who were hurting, because these are the same haunches and the same places I come from. So I go down through these haunches. I go down and I see people hurting, and I begin to try to reach out. Now I'm by myself, right? And I begin to try to reach out and help people. And I was able to help some, but some of them were just out there. They weren't ready. They were out to use me, and I wasn't ready. But see, Mick, I thought I was. And God had to show me I did something saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost that I never did on the streets at a dope fiend. This girl called me one night, and she said she was hurting and scared. She was crying. And my sister was the chaplain at the Karis house. So I would go out at night, get them, and I would call my sister. Where can I take her? We need to get her to the Karis house. I first thought, though, when I did try, I would call somebody from my church, see if they would go with me. Nobody wanted to get up. It's the middle of the night. So I went by myself, man. I figured, I heard it, here I come. So I go get this girl, and I get out there to the porter's apartment where she's at, and here come her and some dude coming to my car. Now, it's middle of the night. Well, wait a minute, man. I say, hey, who's this? Well, he's my friend, and he wanna go. We're gonna get it. We need a ride over here. I gotta stop over here. I said, wait a minute. I'm gonna call my sister. Well, now I don't want to talk to her right now. And blah 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 blah. I said, I tell you what. I said, I'm gonna drop you off over here when you're talking. Come on, get in. And I know the streets. I do this little dope house. I knew who ran the dope house. I said, all right, go ahead and get out. And she got out of my car, and I said, but you, I said, really, you're messing up. I said, you're not even from here. You don't even have an idea what you're falling into. I said, you're green as a blade of grass. I said, you think you know what's in that house you haven't even seen in the living room. I said, I'm telling you, something's going to befall you worse than this. So that, I go back home and go to bed. About 1:30, 2 o'clock, my phone rang again. I pick up the phone, and it's her. And she's screaming to the top of her lungs, crying, what's wrong with you? They took me out to the truck stop, and they did this and this. I said, what you thought you was going to do? So what you thought you was going to the truck stop for? That get dinner? What you thought you was going out there for? I said, you thought you knew what you were doing. But here's what I should have done. I should have said, hey, call 911. This has gone further and beyond what I'm capable of doing anything with. You call 911. But here's what I told her. I'm on my way. I get dressed, dump my old Cadillac, and I head out there. I call my sister Eunice. I said, Eunice, girl's in a bad way. They've abused her. She needs some help. I'm going to get her. My sister said, who's with you? See, because my sister was wise. She said, who's with you? I said, there's nobody with me. Eunice said, nobody wants to go. She said, now you ought to be careful doing that. You're good to be spoken evil of, or you know, you set yourself up. The enemy has set you up. Now, I said, you haven't been out there that long yet. You're not ready for this. I said, Eunice, I'm going to get her, and I'm going to bring her to you. So I go get her. She's at that McDonald's at the truck stop. She gets to the car, and first thing she says to me, take me over here and pick up that guy. I call the guy's name. He's going to help me get my clothes. I said, I'm not going to pick up nobody. I said, you don't even need those clothes. I said, if you do this thing right, when you walk out of there, you're going to be okay. I said, let the dead bury the dead. Leave all that old stuff behind. When I got saved, I didn't bring nothing from the old life. I didn't want a pair of shoes. I didn't want this spirit back in my life. But anyway, she gets to the car, and we ride, and she's going on and on, and she begins to scream at me. I'm coming down Clinton Street, going about 45, 50 miles an hour, and she began to scream at me. You can't make me do nothing. And she reached over and grabbed my door, opened like she was going to jump out. Now, this car was coming on both sides. I reached out without even thinking, and I punched her right in the face. I didn't hit a woman when I was a dope fiend. Now, I did that saved because I wasn't ready. That bothered me, but it didn't bother me at that moment. After that second, I thought about it. Then I pulled over. I hit her, and she had a milkshake or something, coffee or something, and it splashed all over my car. And I left. I said, get out. Get out of my car. So I bet she really saw Jesus in me then. I bet she really saw the Jesus in me then. So you got to be careful. When I first got saved, I remember I first come around this place, I wanted to be where Marvin was already. You know what I mean? Marvin first brought me around here years ago. I wanted to be Marvin already. I didn't want to take my time. See, because God don't need another Marvin. He got Marvin. God needed Lyle to do what Lyle was supposed to do. God needs you. He needs you, and he's called you. God has put a calling in your life. There's something out there. There's somebody out there that only you can reach. Only you can reach that person. God has signed your life to that person. Because when God put a calling in your life, he like Jonah. He sealed it. He's coming to get you. And you wonder why you can't get away no more with that old stuff. Now, the first time you went to prison, you had got away for a few years. Next time you went to prison, you got away for a few months. Next time you went to prison, it was like, doggone, they caught with me quick. And that's how my life was, because God had a calling on my life. So I had to learn that God couldn't stop me. I had to stop and let God give me the strength. I had to stop and let God take these things from me. See, God has taken those things from you. The day you repented of God and said, Lord, forgive me, then God is forgiving you for those things. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord. And ask him to come into your life. And when he does, man, he comes and he cleans you up. But here's the thing. You have to learn to walk in your deliverance. I had to learn to walk in my deliverance. I had to learn to do the things that I'm doing now. And every time I thought I needed something else, God didn't always go the way that I thought he should go. But you know what? I was humble enough. I can't say smart enough because I'm not that smart. I was humble enough to say, okay, God, we'll go this way. We'll go this way. You know, and like I said, I talked to my brother Mark here about things in my life. I've talked to Marvin and Pam. We've sat at eat and lunch and breakfast. And I tell them things in my life that aren't favorable. Things that I never would have told them, because I want people to see me in a way that I'm okay. But I'm only okay because of what God has done in my life. I'm only okay by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I've talked to Pastor Martin about things in my life that weren't favorable. You know what I mean? But I have to. Because I want to put on some things. When he said put on the full armor of God, he never once said he was going to put it on you. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the wickedness, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you. He's given us a command. Take unto you. He didn't say, here, let me put this on you. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, when God saved me, he saved me with the adage that you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because if you don't know the truth, you'll treat a thing like anything. In order to treat it like what it is, you got to call it what it is. You got to call a thief, a liar, a liar. But see, I'm going to tell you something. I know people today that I fellowship with some that are liars. Do I cringe? Do I run from him? No. Because I know the truth, Jose. I know he's a liar. But I still need to be an example for this person and listen the best I know how. And then when I call him on his stuff, well, I tell you what, let's do this like this instead. And sometimes they run off because that's not what they really wanted. But when I'm saying these things because I had to learn to deal with things as they are. Anytime you call, you don't face it for what it is. I say this all the time. I call myself a hustler when I was on the streets. I was never a hustler, I was a burglar. I called myself a player when I was on the streets, but I was never a player, I was a trick. See, now you don't want to be called them things, Alejandro. You don't want to be known by them things. Woo! So I had to do something different if I didn't want to be that. And I'm not going to go much further. I'm going to say this. The enemy of being something different, Alejandro, is going to be. Block the difference in being what you want to be, and the enemy of being what you want to be is going to be. Going to be. Well, I'm going to be a good father. Don't going to be. Be. Maybe you can't buy Christmas for your kids right now. You can pray for them. Maybe you can't even see them right now, but you can pray for them. You can stand in the gap for them. Be a good father. Be a good mother. Be it right now. Well, I'm going to be a minister. Be a minister. Get on your knees and learn to pray. Fast and pray. Pray and watch. Ask God to help you, man. Study. And ask. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Get in the multitude of counselors. Be the things you want to be. I'm going to be a good husband. No, don't going to be. Be. Treat it like Jesus treated the church. We got to do those things right now. In fact, in AA, you know what the motto of AA is? The motto of AA is that the good is too often the enemy of the best. The good is too often the enemy of the best. And I've said this several times, I'm going to say it again. The difference in your destination and your lot in life is your lot in life is where you choose to settle. Your destination is where God will take you. If you're following. So I encourage everybody here tonight, when you get dressed in the morning, get dressed with your spiritual eyes open. Understand who you are. You may be a dope fiend. You may have been a dope dealer. You're not a dope fiend anymore. You may have been an alcoholic and not alcoholic anymore. You may have been a wife abuser or a husband abuser. You're not that anymore. You may have been a thief. You're not that anymore. Put on the things that you are. Put on some integrity when you get up. But see, the first thing, you put on some humility. Without humility, you can't have anything else. You got to be poor in spirit and put on some humility in the morning and be humble to understand that it's not me doing this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that I'd be struggling somewhere in a cage tonight like I struggled in cages so many years. See, and that's what you got to understand is that humility. That humility gives you the strength to go on the next step. I get up and go to work in the morning. Sometimes I'm sore and tired. And somebody said, boy, you walking like you hurting. I said, you act like you hurting. I said, I'm not acting. But not acting, but I got to eat. I got a family I got to support now. And I'm going to work. I'm going in there. I get off work some nights, I be tired. I walk with the 10-point coalition. More nights than not, I tell myself, man, I shouldn't go out tonight. But you know what I do? I get up. We got to be at the park at 6:30. I get up. I get to the park by 6 o'clock. I get there by 6. So I've already set there to be ready. because I refuse to let that old man take me back. I refuse to let that liar take me back. I refuse to let that dead man who died years ago to leave me any further in my life in anything. I refuse to do it. And I thank God for the strength. I thank God for the family. I thank God for my struggles. You know, I just thank God to give me the integrity to know that I don't have to have it all today. I don't have to have a brand new this or a brand new that. If I've had enough to eat today, I got a place to sleep and a place to get up, then I've had as much as the richest man in the world has had. I've been rich. I've had enough for today. I just want to share that with somebody. I want you to understand that you can be what you want to be, but quit going to be. God bless you. Okay, hold on.
I thank you for sharing that, because it's so hard when you get clean or when you come out of prison locked up, you want to immediately accelerate and try to be where you were, and you want to be where other people are, and you do judge your value by looking at other people and what their level is, and it's so hard to tell people to be patient and take your time and grow your roots, let your roots grow. So thank you for sharing that. And Lyle's apartment is little, and he could have had a much bigger place if he would sell half of his shoes. a long time ago.
Well, you know what? Next week, I'll be here next week. Well, because I'm getting married Saturday, I'm going off. But next time I come, I'm bringing some of them shoes. I'm going to bring some. I'll put them in a box because you know what? You're right. I've got more than enough. I've got shoes. I probably got 45 pair of shoes, 12s and 13s, depending. I got Stacy Adams, I got Jordans, Stacy's, and some everything, Timberlands, the whole nine yards. They just sitting there, and I don't need them, because I don't need all that stuff. I got suits I'm gonna give away. If guys need suits, I'm gonna bring some suits next week. I've got more suits than I need. God has blessed my life. He's blessed my life, man. I wouldn't trade the struggles I have for nothing. I wouldn't trade for nothing for today. I just thank God to be blessed. And you know what? If you want that today and God is calling you and this is your day, you can just put your hand up, stand up, or come out. We will pray for you today, right now. And you can enjoy. You start enjoying the same luxuries of life. See, God has heaven for you, but he wants you to have a life here on this earth that's just enjoyable. And we can pray for you. You can be saved today. You walk out here not the same. I got saved May 21st, 2011. I was stinking so bad I could smell my feet through my shoes. I was walking down the street looking horrible. I was 25, 30 pounds underweight. I was hungry. I was grimy. But you know what? Something inside had gotten clean. Something inside had gotten clean, and so it didn't matter. And so when God cleaned out the inside, the outside began to get clean. I go home and change clothes 100 times and come back and never wear the same color almost, but God did that, man. And I'm not bragging about the clothes. I'm telling you, you let the inside get clean. God wants you to have that wife. He wants you to have life and life abundantly. He's got it for you. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and you out there scrounging, saying, I don't have enough. There's people who will bless your life. God will use people to bless your life. But anybody want to pray, you raise your hand or whatever. If not, anybody got any more questions or anything they want to say?
I just want to thank you for the message too. That whole be patient. Maybe you're thinking you should be farther than you are is really important to me. That's real big to me.
Praise God. You know, a doctor in his first year of medical school is a doctor. He becomes that because he's in the place that doctor is at that stage. He's at that stage of being a doctor, Mick. He's in medical school. You may be a pastor. There may be some pastors sitting in this room right here today. Maybe some CEOs. And you can say, ooh, I never get that. Listen, I meant to stop, but I'm going to say this real quick. The mayor's office called me and asked me, when I come down and talk about a thing called a 10-point coalition, they said, would you go out and find 26 men and women that you can trust and bring them down to the mayor's office? I called him. These are men in my life who I knew had integrity. But why did he choose me? How did he even know my name? Oh, dope fiend like me. So God is already, just like what he did for Mordecai. When Haman had already had a gallows built for Mordecai had no idea they were going to hang him the next day. He'd have no idea. But that night, the Lord stirred the king. He stirred the king where he couldn't sleep. And he told him, hey, why don't you get up and read your book of Chronicles? The king gets up and said, read me my book of Chronicles. I haven't read them in a while. And as he read the book of Chronicles, he saw in there where Mordecai had did something to expose a plot for his life. And he said, hey, what have I done to reward this Mordecai? And see, Mordecai didn't even have an idea. And God is no respecter of persons. The same thing for you. There's plots and plans going on, but he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Trust the Lord. If nobody's got any questions or anything, we're going to pray and we're going to get out of here tonight. Brother Mark, pray for us as we go.